Well, I too would like to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And as we get started this morning, Scott, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you could grab some Bibles, if you would like to follow along that way, just by showing a hand, the ushers will be glad to get you a Bible. And also in our church bulletin is an outline, if you'd like to follow along that way as well. As we get started, I'd like to just say this, that on behalf of the Transnistria Six who went to Transnistria, thank you. First of all, thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your notes of encouragement and letters and epistles and all that was given to us so we could read while we were there. And on November 4th, which is Sunday, which is a national orphan, right? Thanks, Steve. I had a memory block right there. But National Orphan Sunday is November 4th. And so if you're able to come that Sunday, we're going to take time to share with you of our experiences. Last week, we began our series called Psalm of the Cross. And we're going to be looking at, for several weeks, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 22. And as Steve started us out, he said that the main theme for our series, if you're following along in your outlines there, is this. Is that our life circumstances are opportunities to live for God. Our life circumstances are opportunities to live for God. And a powerful verse we're going to be looking at today, which is found in Psalm 22, verse 5, says this, "They cried out to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed." If you think about last week, we began that through this psalm, David is like at a low point and a high point if you read through it. Low points, high points, low points, high points. And Steve shared with us that there is hope and there is help. And so last week, Steve said to us and challenged us to think about even when we think that God isn't there, that maybe God is waiting us out to see where we're committed. And so when we look at that, that's something to think through. And as we continue today, we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 5 of Psalm chapter 22. But what I wanted to share with you was something personal. Today marks 17 years of marriage to my best friend. And yeah, right on. You can clap for that. Thank you very much. Now, some of you may be thinking, you know, Jeff and Tina, you look pretty young to be married that long. And to that I say, thank you very much. One of the things we were able to have some time together as a couple, and we just enjoyed that time just looking back on 17 years and just asking each other, what do we want to see the next years look like together? And also, one of the things I did was I bought her roses, and that's something that ladies, you enjoy, right? At special times, whether it's birthdays or anniversaries, guys, anniversaries, and just maybe I just did it because. Well, today, in celebration of our anniversary, I'd like to give some of you ladies some roses. Is that okay? All right, good. Kim, I'm going to start out with you. Good, all right. Love the volunteerism here at Hope. So there you go. There you go. Take it. Thank you. It's pretty, isn't it? There you go. Katarina. Rob, if you could pass that on to your wife. That's great. Hey, Dustin, good to see you. Why don't you pass it over to Courtney? Awesome. Linda, I'm going to give you one, too, just because I like you. All right, let's see here. How about you, Phyllis? Would you like a rose? Awesome. Watch out for the thorns. All right, Miss Ford, here you go. I'm going to give you a rose, too. Oh, you, Miss Poe, we definitely got to give you one. Let's see. We'll give one to sisters. You can fight over that. All right, let's see. Gina, I'll give you one. Oh, watch out for the thorns. And Miss Caroline, how about that? Good. All right, aren't they beautiful? They are just beautiful roses, right? Do you guys see the beauty in that? No. Well, thank you for your honesty, Tom. But what we want to do today is as we look at these things, I don't know how much you know about a rose, but what I read about them was that the thorn on a rose is actually a modified stem. And what it does is it protects the rose from predators to help extend its life. And when I thought about that, this rose, without the rose, I thought about today, our hope for deliverance. We see that David is here calling out to God. And yet today, what we're going to see is how he, in these three verses, begins to respond when God is not there, when it seems difficult, when the struggles just keep mounting. And so as we see this passage today, what we want to walk away with is this. Again, in your outline, when we cry out to God, we will not be disappointed. When we cry out to God, we will not be disappointed. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And when we realize that when we call out to him, we won't be disappointed, we need to understand that God will answer us in his way and in his time. I think about when our younger daughter Emily was in middle school. She was having an issue with a girl at her bus stop. And so she shared with our family about it, and I said, "Listen, I'm going to go walk with you to the bus stop." She said, "Dad, no, we don't want any problems." And I said, "Well, how about I stay like a block away?" And so as she was walking to the bus stop, this girl began to speak to her, not in very kind ways. And so I approached and I said, "What's going on here?" And the girl begins to mouth to me and say, "Well, listen, my mama told me not to talk to strangers." And I said, "Yeah, well, my mama told me that you don't have five girls against one girl in a fight. That's not how we roll." And I said, "What you need to do is you need to leave." And as she's leaving to go to her actual bus stop, she says, "Well, you know, Emily, you still have to get on the bus." I said, "Oh, it's on now, girl." Right? So I said, "Let's go, Emily. You know, we're going." And so once I, you know, in my mind, I'm going, there needs to be justice served. This girl's going to go down for this. I'm going to take care of this thing. It is on. But then when I came to my senses, I said to Emily, "You know what? Why don't we just pray? Why don't we just pray and ask God to do something in this situation?" And so we did. We prayed in the van on the way to school, and I dropped her off. And then I get home, and I call the transportation department. I said, "Here's the situation." They said, "All right, we'll look into it." I said, "Wrong answer. This is the situation. If I have to get on the bus myself tomorrow, I will be on there every day for the rest of the year." "All right, Mr. Hill, calm down." "I'm calm. You just need to do something about it." And they said, "Well, what you need to do is you need to call the school." "Fine." So I called the school. And I said, "Here's the girl's name." And the school said this, "Mr. Hill, this girl is her last day. She's moving." And I'm like, "What?" They said, "She's moving. This is her last day of school today." And I was like, "What? Wow, how amazing is that?" And it just blew me away. And because, you know, I called out to God, Emily called out to God, and when she got home that day, we were able to celebrate in how God answered quickly. But here's the question. What about when he doesn't answer? What about when the difficulty is prolonged? What if the pain keeps going on? That's where we are today. And what we want to see here is that you and I are going to have difficulties in this world. It's going to be hard. It's hard because of the sin that has come. That's why our world is broken. Not only that, you know what? There are choices that others have made that have affected us. Not only that, there are choices we have made that affect us and others. And so that's where we get our difficulties. But we need to understand and remember that God is in control. That's very easy to say, but very hard to live out, right? For me, it is. But yet, what I want to understand as well is that though he is sovereign and in control of all things, I have a responsibility in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my difficulty, and that is to respond in a way that pleases God. So that's where we are this morning. And you know what? Just like this, ow, I just got myself, just like this stem with thorns on it, there is beauty in the middle of our troubles, even when we don't think it is. So when we look at our passage here this morning, what we're looking at is, again, if you remember from last week, David himself is looking for God to be the judge against his foes. But what we see today is a response to what he shared last week. So why don't we take our Bibles, and we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, we're going to be looking at verses 3 to 5. We're going to see once again how David responds to what he spoke of last week. If you remember last week, he's like, "God, why did you forget about me?" And David lodged complaints to God. But here's what he says, beginning with verse 3. He says this, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed." And so David comes back and puts things into perspective. He begins to have a proper view of the thorns, that God took care and God was his people's and his hope for deliverance. So why don't we just take the next few moments together and take a look at enjoying the thorns. Enjoying the thorns. Asking the question, what do we do while we're waiting on God? What do we do while we're waiting on God? So why don't we just look at a couple of ways that we can play our part in difficult times and to enjoy the goodness of God as well. So if you're following along, once again in your outline, the first is this, is remain assured in who God is. Remain assured in who God is. As we see, David is living out his own real life nightmare. He was asking once again, God, where are you? Where are you? And with that, even though God was quiet, here's the neat thing. David was confident in who God was. He knew that God was not only holy, but he was crowned, he was ordained, he was inaugurated as that. The one true God, the praise of all Israel. He was creator of heaven and earth. And what we believe here at Hope, that he is the one true God, creator of heaven and earth. And he still is the one, the Holy One, who is enthroned. And he still is today. You know, when I think about being assured and remain assured in who God is, just about probably almost 2 months ago now, I met, had a meeting with my older daughter. And now she is, at this point in her life, she's getting ready to move on her own, and she's going to a tech school. And when I met with her, she hadn't gone yet. And for me, I struggled. I struggled with, is there going to be finger pointing? Is there going to be he said, she said? Is there going to be this? Is there going to be that? And on my way driving, one of the things I began to think about was who God is. Wait a minute, if God can give me peace that goes beyond what I can understand, it's going to be all right. If I can be someone, if God can be that one for me who keeps my mouth shut when it needs to be, and when speak when I need to, and speak in love, this is going to be okay. Sure, was I nervous? Absolutely. But when I met with her, I asked her a couple questions. What are you afraid of for being on your own? And she shared. What are you excited about being on your own? And she shared. And then I asked, where do you see yourself in 3 years? And she shared. And I said, you know what? That's exciting to hear, because here's the thing. When you have those moments when you're ready to give up, when you have those moments where you're saying, this isn't even worth it, it's too hard, I want to go back to how everything was, I want you to remember today. I want you to remember you saying who you see yourself being in 3 years. And the reason why I share that story is because, you know what? As I'm going home that day, I could celebrate what God did in that moment. There was no finger pointing. There was no issues whatsoever. And so when you and I begin to remain assured in who God is, we're taking time with our Heavenly Father. I know you hear this every Sunday. But what I did was, in your outline, on the inside is the biblical names of God. A through V, right? And so when we look at these, this is not just for you to look at today and go, thank you very much, Jeff. You know, I'll look at it and then it's going to go in the circular file. But it's taking time. I haven't gone through every one yet, but it's so powerful to say that God's my advocate. God's my strength. He's my hope. He's my rock. He's my sacrifice. He's my comforter, and so on and so on and so on. And see, to remain assured in who God is, we need to understand that how we feel at times in the middle of our difficulties and what is true are two different things. God's word is true, and he will be there for us. But yet we have to take the time to understand who he is. And in those moments, we can say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. No matter how I feel, yes, you are. And so when we remain assured in who God is, there's a key word that comes with that, and that's confidence. Our key word is confidence. You see, as a follower of Christ, you and I, our identity is in him. It's not in a title at work. It's not in a status at school. It's not in our neighborhood, what people think of us, but it is in Christ alone, who we sang today, our hope is found. You know, this is where we find deliverance in the midst of life's struggles, is in the one who will deliver. And so the question that we can ask ourselves this morning is this: where in our lives are we lacking confidence in God? Where in our lives are we lacking confidence in God? Where are we at places where we believe that God has forgotten our situation? Where do we believe that God has forgotten our situation? You know, Moses, in Exodus chapter 15, he shares this in verse 2. This is after the Israelites were freed from Egypt. He says this, he says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." So when we remain assured in who God is, let's remain in his word to remember and trust who he is, and to live out a life of faith that is confident in the one who is mighty to save. So when we take time to enjoy the thorns, to embrace the difficulties in our lives, and see that God is working it all out for his good purposes, we remain in that. The second is this, is that we rejoice in God's rescuing work. We rejoice in God's rescuing work. We see in verses 4 and 5 is that David looks back on how God took care of the people of Israel and how those people put their trust in him. And because of that, David finds the motivation to continue to trust in God. Not only that, he believes that God's going to rescue him as well. And so what we see is that, like David, you and I can live a life of gratitude for what God has already done. And you and I, in the most difficult of circumstances, can live as if, and we are, those of us who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, have been set free. You know, I want to show another picture, another flower here, Nathan, if you could put that up, please. Once that gets there. Beautiful plant, isn't it? I'm not really a plant person, but this was really neat to see different types of plants other than roses. And I don't want to tell you what the name of the plant is yet, but here, this plant grows in the Madagascar region. And it's said that this plant grows up to 5 feet in height. Now, let me tell you, the stem of that grows 5 feet, produces what I'm about to show you. This is what this plant produces. This plant is called a crown of thorns plant. And their thorns, they grow maybe in excess of 1 inch long. And when I think of this plant, and I think about a crown of thorns, I think about when my Heavenly Father sent his Son into the world. And when they took him, they said, "You're king? We got your king." And they placed a crown of thorns on his head, and they made fun of him. Not only did they make fun of him, they said, "All right, now that we're done beating you down for a bit, it's time to go to the cross." And he wore this crown of thorns to Calvary. And they placed him on that cross, and not only did he wear a crown of thorns, but he wore 3 nails. And for you and I, when we think of the thorns in our lives, when we think of the difficulties that come with our lives, let us look to what Christ has done for you and for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 from the New Living Translation says this: "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." If that doesn't get anybody excited, I don't know what will. But God put on sin onto his Son. The sins of humankind, my sin and your sin, past, present, and future, and he died. Christ took on the wrath of God, and it was finished once and for all. If that's not amen, I don't know what is. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. You and I, who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to God. You and I have been liberated by the power of the cross. And because of that, you and I can go to him at any time with anything, and we can believe by faith that he will answer our prayers. Now, we need to understand that when he is not saying anything, we need to understand that he's doing that to grow us in trust of him, to grow us in character, to grow us in wisdom. And that is the part that you and I play in this whole grand scheme of things. So when we talk about rejoicing in God's rescuing work, there's a key word that goes with that. And that key word is thankfulness. Our key word is thankfulness. And this is, again, another thing easier said than done. But as a follower of Christ, we can trust in God's work in our lives and in our situations. Remember what we said at the beginning is that thorns on these stems are for protection. And so when we think that God isn't protecting us, or when we think God isn't there, or when we think God isn't answering when we want him to, we need to understand he's doing it for his great name and for our good. You see, God not only saved us for eternity, but he saved us to work out his purposes in this world today. And for you and I, we can be thankful in what God is doing in our lives and in the world around us. And know this, that he wants us to move forward with him. When I think about rejoicing in God's rescuing work, I think about the students here at Hope. And they have what's called See You at the Pole. It's a national day of prayer for students. And these students, they go and they, before school starts, one day out of the year, they rally around the flagpole and pray for their peers, the administration, the teachers, and so on. Now, I want to go back to last year. Last year, there was three students there for See You at the Pole. And those three are in this church. This year, when I pulled up to drop off my daughter, there was 19 students. There was two teacher sponsors, and there were parents at the high school praying for their school. So here's why I share this. When we talk about God wants us to move forward with him in his rescuing work, some of the students said, well, you know what? This is great that we can pray once a year for our school, but let's pray once a week. And so every Tuesday morning before school, they're praying for their school inside at the Bear and by the cafeteria. Those of you who have been to the pancake breakfast at Big Bear, they pray there every Tuesday morning now. They say, we want others to know about the rescuing work of Jesus Christ, not only in our lives, but in the lives of this school. God's rescuing work is not just for us, not just for the frozen chosen, or whatever you want to say, the holy huddle. God's rescuing work is always at work in this world. So the question that we can ask this morning is, what is something that you could do that would show your appreciation for what God has done in your life? What is something you could do to show appreciation for the work that God has done and is doing in your life? You know, it may be befriending someone at school who no one wants to be with because they're not popular. It may be giving sacrificially to someone who is in more need than you are. It may even be extending forgiveness where forgiveness has never been given. But what is something that you and I can do to show appreciation for God's rescuing work in our lives? You see, you and I, we don't have to allow the difficulties, the situations, and our circumstance to dictate how we will live for God. And here's the thing. Because when we do, we become overwhelmed with our situation, and we miss that God's even in it. And not only that, you and I can live in response to what Christ has already done on the cross. And because of that, he wants to do in us and through us his great purposes in this world. So you and I have heard David say, you know what? You're the Holy One. In the past, people put their trust in you. In the past, people cried out to you. In the past, you saved them. In the past, you never failed them. And so because of that, I believe you'll do that for me too. And so when we talk about enjoying the thorns together, you know, one of the things with these thorns is that, you know, I said at the beginning, these are beautiful, aren't they? And you were all looking at me like there was something wrong. But when I thought of getting the roses this week, I thought of a young lady that is in Transnistria. And Nathan, if you could put her picture up. Her name is Oksana. And I only know Oksana through stories because she was a translator in Transnistria the first year. And as you can see, this is a picture with Brian and Caroline. Our last day that we were there in Transnistria, she came for breakfast. And one of the questions was asked was, how you doing? And Oksana began to share about how life was going in Transnistria. And you'll hear the stories in November. But, you know, it's very interesting from a Westerner's perspective of how bleak and how discouraging it could be to live there. An idea and a sense of no hope, that nothing will ever change, that there isn't a light at the end of the tunnel. And yet, as we asked Oksana, how are you doing? She began to share. And this girl, I'm just like, who are you? Like, I've never met a Transnistrian like this. And she began to share her story. And she shared her story, which is a miracle in itself, and I don't have time to share that this morning. But she began to share how she works for an organization called Campus Crusade. You see, she realized that Christ was her only hope in this world. And because of that, she was sharing that they go to the university there, and just talk to people about God. And I began to see the rose. Because Oksana is seeing the beauty in the difficulty. Oksana is seeing the beauty in the despair, in the darkness, in the hopelessness, and she sees beauty. And she continued to share, this is a place where you could be arrested for sharing your faith. This is a place where they say there is no God. And yet she said, it's what God has done in me that I talk to people now who once said, there is no God, to now they're saying, I really want to know about this God that you're talking about. She sees the beauty in the midst of the pain. She sees the beauty in the midst of the despair. She sees the beauty in the midst of the trouble. You see, for you and I have to ask this question. How are you doing? If you were to really reevaluate what's going on in your life, how are you doing? Because when we ask that question, it can be simple as, I'm doing good, I'm fine. Tina and I just had some time with some friends of ours on Friday night, and we were like, how you doing? I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. And then, you know, I don't know, you may know some people who, like, you ask how you doing, and they just go on and on and on and on. Okay. But how you doing? If you were to think about your life, and think about the struggles that you may be having right now, or think about the difficulties that have not stopped, or you begin to think about what is to come, how you doing? How you doing? Not only that, are you seeing God in the middle of the very thing that you're going through? You know, as I've shared up here before, there were times in our journey with our family that I didn't see God in the middle of my situation. And I thought that God was at a call center where I had to press 2 to get God, for 3 to get someone else, or 4 to leave a message. And yet, as I changed my perspective and I began to have a different view of the thorns, it changed everything. And as a result of God's working in my life, and as a result of God's working in my situation, there was peace several weeks ago. And so, let's remember this. God uses our difficulties in our lives. He uses them to grow us to trust Him. He uses them to remind us that He will rescue. And in those difficult spots, let us be encouraged to remain confident in who God is. Let us live as a result of God's rescuing work in our lives. You know, last Sunday, Steve shared with us Psalm 23, and we all said it together. And as I was putting this message together, there was a few lines that came just as a result, not anything hokey that we're going to say together, not, you know, any feel-good motivational speech, but these are just from the truths that we draw from this morning. And so, Nathan, if you could put that up, and we're going to say this together. There is beauty in my pain. It is for God's great name and my good. I will rest in his word and promises no matter how I feel, and I will respond with gratitude for his rescuing work in my life. And so I hope and pray that wherever you are, it may be a dark place, it may be a place where you're like, I just wish the bullying would stop. I wish someone would like me. I wish that my relationship was much better. I wish that there was more money coming in. Wherever you are, understand that there is one who not only gave it all, but he is our hope for deliverance. Jesus said some powerful words in John 16, 33. He said this, he said, I have told you these things that so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Not there's like a 25% chance or, you know, you roll the dice and maybe, you know, it'll go good. He's saying in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Romans says to us in chapter 8, it says if we want to share in the glory of God, we need to share in the sufferings as well. So for you and I, when life doesn't go the way that we expect, we can be confident that God is greater than our situation and greater than anything that we face. We can be thankful for God's victory over death. And that motivates us to live by his power. And when we call out to God by faith, let us be people who believe that he will answer and that we will not be disappointed. Let's pray. Father God, here we are this morning. We're confronted with the truth of your word. We recognize today that you are the one true God, ruling from your throne, and you deserve the praise of your people. We need to be reminded, God, of who you are. When we forget and when we get so overwhelmed or when we come into a downward spiral and think that there's no hope, God, we pray that you would let us not just see what you've done in the past to be left in the past, but God, that we would be confident that you are still working in our lives today. Remind us, God, of your rescuing work. Show us where we can be people who live our lives out of gratitude rather than out of obligation. Let us not be silent, but cry out to you for help. Help us see the beauty, God, among the thorns. Help us enjoy the journey that you have us on. Father, I pray even too that whatever the situations are in this room, God, that we would let go. That we would believe that in the midst of our trouble, you are there. God, that, you know, it may not be instant, it may not be immediate. God, help us with where we don't believe that you'll come through. It's you, God, that we want to give over to you. God, I pray too that there may be those here today who have never said yes, who have believed that they could cry to you but never see any results. And I pray, God, that if that's where they are today, that they believe that you sent your son to this earth, believing that they have sinned against you, but come to a place believing that you died and were buried and you rose again. Lord, eternal life is available. God, we need you. We love you, and Father, we just pray once again that we remain assured of who you are and that we rejoice in your rescuing work, that each of us would enjoy the journey that you have us on. So we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.